How we doing tonight, guys? Cool. Hey, it's good to see everybody. Hey, I especially want to welcome those of you. If you're here for the very first time, we just want to say thanks for coming and being here at M12. Get up for Drew one last time. Isn't that awesome? His baptism tonight. Really cool. And let me just say this, man. Some of you guys, I know that I've talked with some of you. Some of you are interested in being baptized, and we love that. We want to baptize as many of you that want to make that decision. But in order for that to happen, you've got to sign up at the resource table, and then there is a meeting that has to take place between you and myself or Mike and one of your parents. And so once we have that meeting, then we can move forward with your decision to be baptized. Sometimes you think if you just sign up, you're coming the next week and getting baptized. And just so you know, that's not the way it works. Well, how many of you guys had a good spring break? Yeah, anybody leave and go to like the beach? Anybody go to the beach? Yes. How about the mountains? Anybody go to the mountains? Raise your hand if you're more of a beach person or a mountains person. So beach, raise your hand. Beach. More of a mountain person? All right, there's my campers. Awesome. Well, hey, man, it's good to see you guys. We missed you guys last week. Some of you met me and Nathan. We were at Sky Zone, and it was awesome. We had a dodgeball tournament. I hit a couple kids in the face, and I think I hit you in the face. Just kidding, not really. But it was awesome. And here's the thing. We're going to have a lock-in sometime this summer at Sky Zone. It's going to be awesome. I know we had to cancel the one last week, but that was kind of out of our control. But sometime this summer, we're going to do that. So tonight, here's where we're going. We're going to begin a new series called The Great Paradox. And simply put, a paradox is a crazy statement that when you hear it, it sounds illogical. It sounds like it doesn't make sense, but ultimately, it actually is true. So, for example, one example is Yogi Berra. Anybody baseball fans in the house? Okay. Well, Yogi Berra was a catcher for the Yankees, which is my favorite baseball team. Go Yanks. And this is what he said. He said, nobody goes to that restaurant. I don't know what restaurant he was talking about. But he said, nobody goes to that restaurant anymore because it's too crowded. That doesn't make any sense, right? But how many times have you showed up at a restaurant, right, and you left because it was too crowded? Anybody ever done that before? Or this is anonymous, but this person said, you shouldn't go in the water until you know how to swim. Well, that you can't know how to swim unless you go into the water, right? So what we're doing over this series is we're going to take a look at some crazy statements that Jesus actually made. Paradoxical statements, if you will, that Jesus said. But before we get that, sometimes a paradox can be in the form of a picture. So I have a picture I want to show you guys. And check this out. Now, doesn't that kind of play with your mind a little bit, right? You're trying to figure out, like, how many legs does the elephant have? Yeah, messes with your mind a little bit. So it's kind of like that, kind of a mind or optical illusion, right? Cool. So sometimes a paradox comes in an image, and sometimes it comes with something you see. So there's a real quick movie clip just to give you a picture of where we're going, of this idea of what is a paradox? What does that even mean? What does that look like? Watch this 25-second clip real quick. Play with you guys' mind a little bit. It's kind of crazy, kind of weird. And here's the thing that you got to understand is that Jesus, when Jesus came on the scene, right, he was about 30 years old, and his first ever sermon is a series of chapters in the Bible in Matthew. As a matter of fact, if you want to open with me, there's a Bible underneath you or in front of you. And if you want to turn open quietly to page number 968, that's where we're going to be tonight. But what would happen is that Jesus would take a teaching that everyone the rabbis, the teachers of the time had taught people. And Jesus would take that teaching and in essence, he would turn it upside down. He would say something completely different, right, than maybe others had heard. For example, Jesus said this, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Now, that doesn't seem like our society, right? Whoever wants to be great must be a servant. Most of the time, the greatness, we think greatness is being first in line or going first or you got to be first, right? Well, Jesus said it was something completely different. He also said this. He said, the last will be first and the first will be last. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about what Jesus said. If you're talking, I need you to not. And I need you to think about this. The first will be last, and the last will be first. I mean, can you imagine those of you, how many ladies we got in the audience that play softball? Any softball? All right, all right. Baseball, gentlemen? Baseball, gentlemen? Any guys that play softball? I do. I love it. It's awesome. All right, so stay with me. Imagine this. Imagine if you entered a tournament. This is just an example. But let's say you enter a tournament for your softball team, and at the beginning of the tournament, the official of the tournament comes up to your team and says, hey guys, we've actually changed things up this weekend for this tournament. The team that loses the most, that's the team that's going to get all the trophies. I mean, first of all, you would think, this guy is crazy, right? But in essence, that's a little bit, in a way, what Jesus was saying, that the last will be first and the first will be last. So Jesus made a series of paradox-like statements in the Bible. And what we're going to do over the next couple weeks is we're going to look at some of these. And tonight we begin with Jesus' first ever sermon called the Sermon on the Mount. Now the Sermon on the Mount is Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7. So it's three chapters. And this was literally the first time that Jesus ever publicly, to other than his disciples, that he would publicly speak and that he would publicly teach. But before we get into these Beatitudes tonight, beginning in verse 3, this is what I want you to understand about the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes what happens is when we read the Bible and we think, this is a prescription for the best life that I can have. So if I will just do all of what this says, then I'll be good to go. And so we read the Bible like it's a prescription, right? And like it's something that we have to go out and do. So really, when we think about it, all this good stuff that we read, the pressure's kind of all on us. And what I want to get you to do is I want you to see that when Jesus said these statements, right, these statements are not prescriptive statements, but rather they are descriptions of who we are becoming in Christ. They describe your life and my life as we continue, right, to get closer and closer to Jesus. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite theologians, right? He said it like this. He said that the Sermon on the Mount, I need to read it exactly what it says. He said the Sermon on the Mount is not something where we read it and we say, I have to go out and do that. I have to be that person. I have to do those things. But rather, the Sermon on the Mount or the Beatitudes were mentioned and were written in the Bible so that you and I will ultimately come to a wall and run into the wall and say, I can't do it. I cannot measure up to this type of lifestyle. There's no way outside of Christ, in my own strength, in my own decisions, in my own knowledge, that I can live up to this type of a life. And what I want you to understand is that is exactly the truth. Is that when we read these passages, which we're only going to read one tonight, but when we read these passages, this is not me telling you, go and do this, but rather it's just me telling you, it's so important that we understand we need Christ in order to live the life that he would want us to live. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at Matthew 5, page 968, verse 3. And it's going to come on the screen, and here's what it says. It says, Jesus says in Matthew 5, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want to read that again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So here's what I want to do. I want to take this word by word tonight, blessed or blessed. Now, when Jesus says, and at the beginning of all of the Beatitudes, right, the beginning of his sermon, Jesus comes out and imagine multitudes and thousands of people, and this is what he said, blessed are they, or blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, blessed is all about this idea of, yes, it is happy. Everybody say happy.
Happy.
Yeah, so that's a part. Don't be obnoxious with it. That's a part of blessed. Happiness is a part of blessed. But even further than that, what Jesus is saying is healthy. Not only are those who are blessed happy, but those who are blessed are healthy, right? And so it's more than just being happy, it's also being healthy. And so here's a statement that I want to give you tonight. If you're taking notes, I'd love you to write this down. This is kind of the rallying statement that I want to give you. Here it is. Our poverty leads to God's provision. I need you to write that down. If you're taking notes, if you're not, just think about it in your mind. Our poverty leads to God's provision. One more time. Our poverty leads to God's provision. Now, how many of you guys, just a show of hands, how many of you have ever seen like someone who's homeless, maybe standing on the side of the road or maybe in downtown Atlanta or even right in our backyard? Anybody ever seen someone? Maybe they've, you know, got a sign and it says, man, I got to find some place to live or whatever, right? And a lot of times what happens is we kind of ignore that person. Sometimes we even act as if they're invisible, which is a shame, but we're probably all guilty of that. But this is what I want you to do. For the rest of our time together, I want you to picture that person in your mind. You don't know their name, most likely. I want you to picture that person in your mind. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when the writer wrote this book, right, he's not referring to a financial or a monetary kind of poor. So when we think of poor people, we think of people who don't have a ton of money, right? We think of people who are not as fortunate as others. We think of people who maybe they don't, you know, have a place to live. So we think of that person that I'm asking you to kind of picture in your mind, right? And so I want you to think about that person. So that's what we think about when we think of poor. But when Jesus said this to the disciples, yes, there were those kinds of people around. There most certainly were. But when Jesus said this statement to the disciples, that's not what he meant. When he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, what he was talking about is not a financial or monetary type of poor, but rather he was referring to a spiritual poverty, a spiritual way of being poor. Well, what does that mean? Very, very simple. It means blessed are the people that when they look at their life, they see their need for Jesus. They see their need for a Savior. They see their need for something bigger than they are. And here's the way that Jesus said it in the Bible. He said, I didn't come for those who are well. I didn't come for those who are rich even. Not talking about monetary here, okay? I didn't come for those who have it all figured out. I didn't come for those that just have an easy life. I came for those who are sick. That's what Jesus said. I came for those who are sick. I came for those who need a physician. I came for those who need help, right? And so what Jesus is saying in this passage is blessed, happy, healthy are the people who are poor in spirit, who look at their life and say, gosh, I desperately need Jesus. I desperately need him. And the reality is sometimes when we look at our life, we don't always see that to be the case. Because this is what I want you to think about. When he says, again, I'm going to read it again. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I want you to think about it like this. When it comes to your spirit, and you may want to write this down, just think about it. But your spirit is made of your heart. Everybody do the heart symbol. Come on with me. Heart. Spirit is made of the heart and the will. The heart and the will. Okay? Heart is obviously, yes, it's an organ in your body. Okay? But your heart is, in a way, your ability to love people and to be loved by people. To love God and to be loved by God. To see yourself approved by God. Not that you have to do anything to earn God's love, but you know that God already loves you. And your will is your decision maker. So when you're looking at your spirit, you're looking at your heart, which is the organ in your body, yes, but it's also your ability to love and to be loved. And you're looking at your spirit, which is your decision maker. How many of you guys, just a show of hands, be honest, would say that you're a good decision maker? Okay, let me ask a different question. How many of you would say that you're not a great decision maker? I appreciate you guys being honest tonight. I appreciate you being honest. I think if we're all honest, we could probably raise both hands on that. I think we all at times, right, make bad decisions. For example, if I were to go to Crystal over Chick-fil-A, bad decision, right? Right? Or if I were to go to Sonic and get a chocolate shake over a salted caramel shake, terrible decision, right? So fill in the blank. I mean, some decisions are worse than others. Now, obviously, I'm not just talking about food items. But that's what your will is. Your will is made of, that's your decision maker. That's how you make decisions. And all of this includes your spirit, right? And so your heart and your will. So if your spirit is made up of your heart, and which is your ability to love and be loved and know you're loved by God and you love God, right? And your will, which is the ability to make good decisions, Jesus is saying, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who realize, God, I cannot possibly know how to love you without you showing me. Are you imagining that man or that woman that you've seen with the sign on the side of the road? I want you to imagine that person and think about this. Jesus is saying that's how we should actually, in a way, approach him spiritually. That's what he's saying in this passage. That we are literally poor without him. That we have something missing without him. When we think of poor, we think of we're lacking something, right? That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So let me ask you guys this question. Have you ever felt in a way that you feel like you can't change? Has anybody ever felt that way? You feel like, I know what I want to do, but I don't know how to change, right? You're in a great place, and let me tell you why. Because when we get to that point, in a way, that is us becoming poor in spirit. It's us admitting how desperately we need Jesus. And see, the reality is that when Jesus was speaking these words, people which maybe you have thought this, maybe you haven't, but kind of like he said, the last will be first and the first will be last. Jesus was saying these words and people were probably thinking like, what is he talking about? Blessed are the poor. How in the world can a poor person be blessed? But it was because he was talking about something farther than money and finances, which you may think to yourself, well, money wasn't that big of a deal back then. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Maybe there wasn't a place like Chateau Alain, okay? But there was money. And there were rich people and there were poor people. And so Jesus, from the get-go, in the first three words, says, blessed are the poor, which there is the paradox. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Now listen, again, that statement, our poverty leads to God's provision. Let me explain what that means. When we realize how needy you and I are, and here's the thing, I know in a room like this tonight, some of you, this is foreign language, because for some of you, you don't know Jesus, and you've never placed your faith and your trust in him, and that's okay. We're glad you're here. I would hope and pray that maybe throughout this series, maybe that you would make the decision to say yes to Jesus. And if that's you, you can talk to any of your leaders, go to your small group tonight and talk with them. You can come and talk with me. I would love to talk with you about what it means to follow him and place him as your Lord and Savior of your life. But for those of you that would say you have made that decision, it began with you being spiritually poor, with you saying, I desperately, desperately need him. That I must be dependent on him. I must be dependent on God. I must look to him for what I need, right? Because again, our poverty will lead us to his provision. But here's the thing. Oftentimes what happens is that we go outside of what we think is going to bring us the spiritual richness, if you will. And we look for it in other areas. For example, some of us, we look for this richness, if you will, or this better life in the kingdom of the earth. And notice when Jesus said this passage, he said, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of what? Heaven. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But what happens and what the enemy wants you to do and what some of your friends want you to do is they want you to have this tunnel vision towards the kingdom of earth. And what I mean by that is we go out and we look for things to fulfill us. We look for things to fill that need, that thing in us that makes us spiritually poor. We go outside of the spiritual and look at it in the physical. For example, praise is one that I find often that you guys look to. For example, how many of you guys have a social media account? Okay. Now, I want to take a survey. How many of you have more than one social media account? More than one. Okay. So that could be like a Twitter and an Instagram, you know, Kick, whatever. Keep your hand raised if you have more than two social media accounts, more than two, okay? If you have more than three social media accounts, okay? More than four, more than five, six social media accounts, seven social media accounts, eight. Okay, my hands are getting tired. First of all, let me just say this. I don't even know how many there are. I thought it was just like Instagram, Twitter, maybe Facebook. I've heard about this Kick, and I don't even know what it is. Snapchat. But listen. I'm not bagging or dogging on social media, okay? But this is what I'm going to say. For some of you, that's where you go to be praised. That's where you go to get outside of this spiritually poor area, and you go to the physical world, the kingdom of earth. And what happens is you post a selfie, right? Or you post something One of those pictures where you're standing in the front of, like you're standing at your bathroom mirror and you take the picture. You do that, right? And what you want to happen, and I'm not just saying the girls, the guys do this too, right, fellas? Yeah, you do. But listen. What you want to happen is you want to get that picture with as many likes as you can. And then, as if a like is not enough, then you want the comments to start rolling in, right? And then you get mad when people don't comment, and you're like, why did this person comment, but this person didn't comment, or this person commented, but they didn't say something I like. And so what happens, right, is we go to the physical world for something that can only be fulfilled in a spiritual way. And let me just challenge a little bit of you. Some of you need to rethink your social media accounts. Some of the things you post on there, some of the things that you like, some of the comments that you make. Man, you just need to relook at that. But see, that's what a lot of us do that. If you say, man, I do, I go to the world for praise, so do I. I think we're all in good company to say that because we want to be liked. We want people to accept us. We want to have those comments. But here's the problem is that we're trying to go by a physical means that can only be something that can only be met spiritually. If I were to see that person in your head right now who's got the sign and the homeless person on the side of the road, if I were to go up to that person and I were to give them a $5 bill, do you think that would solve their poverty? It would not. It might temporarily help them, right? For a short time, it might solve some things. But for the most part, it's really not going to help a ton. And it's the same thing with what I'm talking about. The social media account thing, the Instagram thing, the Facebook thing, man, it might solve some things for a little bit. But it's only going to be temporary. Or for some of us, we go to the world and we say, well, maybe it's not praise, but maybe it's power. So power would say, well, man, I gotta be the best athlete on the field. Or man, I gotta be first place. And I fall into this category because I'm competitive, man. I don't like to lose, right? So I was playing this game this week with a couple of other middle school pastors. My team came in last. That was tough, right? It's hard to come in last. It's a bummer. But for some of you, that's where you go, is you go to this power, right? Reminds me of when the Dallas Cowboys lost to the Green Bay Packers on a catch. On a catch. He caught the ball. That's all I'm going to say. But listen. I don't want you to lose sight of where we're going. Once again, the bottom line, our poverty leads to God's provision. Because let me tell you what happens. When we make the decision and we say, you know what? I don't know what all this means. I don't have it all figured out. But when we say, God, I desperately need you. I desperately need you. Much like the homeless man or woman would be on their knees on the side of the road and literally just be begging anybody and everybody that comes by. Imagine if you approached God in that same way. What if you approached God, not physically, maybe physically, maybe God does want you to get on your knees sometimes and pray to him at your bedside. Maybe that is something God wants you to do. But more so spiritually, imagine what would happen if you approached God in that way. I often, as I was preparing this message, I asked myself the same question. How often do I approach God from a spiritually poor place? And the truth is, a lot of times I approach God and I'm like, I got it all figured out. Things are going great. And a lot of times what God wants us to do is just admit how much we need him. Because that is the truth. And so this is what I want to challenge you with tonight, and then we'll go to our small groups. I want to give you a simple prayer to pray. Maybe you pray this throughout the week. Maybe you pray it tonight in your group. I'm actually going to give you the opportunity to pray it tonight before we dismiss. But here it is. It's very simple. And it says this: God, show me my poverty and lead me to your provision. In other words, God, show me how poor I am without you. And when I realize how much I need you, then you will lead me to your provision. Well, what is provision? The fact that God will always, 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 always provide. The word provide is in that provision. That he will always provide, even though you think sometimes that God may not be listening, that God's not with you, that God doesn't understand. Sometimes I think that, sometimes you think that. The truth is that God will provide every single time. And sometimes, a lot of times perhaps, it may not be the provision that you were hoping for. It may not be that God provides in a way that you were thinking he would. But the bottom line is that he will provide. Because see, when we become poor, when we become spiritually poor, what does he say? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here's what that looks like. Instead of going to the kingdom of earth like praise and power, we go to the kingdom of heaven and we say, God, apart from you, I can do nothing. We remember verses that say, apart from Christ, I am nothing and I can do nothing. And then what happens is he provides. Oftentimes he provides. But see, sometimes, again, we approach God and we say, I got this. Sometimes maybe you guys can relate to a moment where you thought to yourself, man, I got this. I remember for me, two summers ago, I didn't go last summer, but two summers ago, how many of you guys have ever been to Six Flags? Anybody ever been to Six Flags? So I was at Six Flags, and I'll tell you, man, I love roller coasters. I love them, you know? I cannot get enough of a good roller coaster. But there is a ride at Six Flags, it's called Acrophobia. So it's this ride, it's called Acrophobia, and here's what happens. Here's what happens. Now, you guys, I know you can relate to me, but there's times when you're like on the ground and you're watching a ride and you're like, I got this. I mean, this isn't that big of a deal. That ride looks so not scary, you know? And then what happens is, or for me, what happened was I got on the ride. And so if you don't know what acrophobia is, I'll tell you really quick. It's just this circular thing. It's probably about 50 people that ride at a time. And it's attached to this cylinder, and all it is this thing goes up, and it comes down. But what happens is, on the ground, you think to yourself, it's really not that high in the air. But when you get on the ride, and you're going up, you're thinking to yourself, when's it going to stop? Like, when is this ride going to quit? So I'm serious. I need to look up the measurements, but I think At least 120 feet. Is it 200? 200 feet in the air. All right. So imagine this, 200 feet in the air. And here's the worst part is you're sitting in this seat. Obviously, you know, you're in. Nothing's going to, you know, you're not going to fall out. But at the end, at the very top, when the ride stops, when the ride stops, what happens is this guy over the speaker is like, he starts telling a story. And as he's telling the story, your chair rotates like this to where you're kind of looking at the ground, okay? You're looking at the ground. Now, here's the thing. I'm not choosing to look at the ground. I can look at the ground by doing this, okay? But my chair goes like this. So I have to look at the ground, right? And so he starts telling this story, which means you don't know when he's going to drop you. And literally in the middle of the story, I drop. And it was one of the scariest rides I think I've ever been on. And to make matters worse, I had just eaten a couple hot dogs. But I did not projectile all over the place. It stayed in. But listen. I tell you that story because a lot of times that's exactly how we approach God. We say, God, I got this. And then we get into something and we learn, we learn that we need him. We learn that we need him to help us. And when we look to God and we just say, God, help me to see my poverty and lead me to your provision, he will do that. And so that's what I want to invite us to do. At your chairs, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And this doesn't require any kind of talking or looking around the room. This is just a really quick moment between you and God. And so, God, we want to pray those words tonight. Wherever we're at, whether the person I'm talking to is a Christian or whether the person I'm talking to is not, we want to pray, God, that you would show us, show me, show us our poverty and lead us to your provision. Help us to understand and realize and live out the fact that you always provide. And God, I pray as these students go in their small groups that you would allow their groups to go great and more discussion to happen around this topic of being poor in spirit, for then theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.